Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. Thank you for joining us in this program. Every second week of Lent, we hear about this radiant vision, the transfiguration of Jesus. This comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His garments became glistening, intensely white, dazzling, as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses. They were talking to Jesus, and Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good that we are here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He didn't know what he was saying. He was so afraid. Then a cloud came, overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Every second week of Lent, every second Sunday of Lent, we hear about this radiant transfiguration. We are taken from the desert up to the mountaintop, and it happens every second Sunday of Lent. Now, why is it that we're taken from the desert to the mountaintop so quickly? I want to submit to you two reasons, two main reasons. First of all, as I've said in the first program, the first Sunday of Lent, I want you to know that Lent is a season of grace. It's not about our determination. It's about allowing God to move in us. So this vision is a vision of grace. You've heard in pop culture that whole truth, that whole saying that it's not the destination that matters, it's the journey that matters. And I get that. I like that. It's all about the journey. It's all about the pilgrimage. But I want to reverse that for a minute here, because I really believe that this is what this vision is all about. It's not just the journey that matters. It's the destination. And that's one thing that we have to get during the journey of Lent, is that we have a goal in mind. We have a destination in mind. And heaven is our final goal. The beatific vision, what this vision is a glimpse of glory. It's an early Easter. And what the church is telling us at the beginning of Lent, because we're only a week into Lent, we've got a long way to go here. At the very beginning of Lent, the church is telling us that we have a destination in mind. Easter is our destination. Heaven is our goal. Glory, and we're getting a glimpse of glory, is what we're after. So it's not just all about the journey, but the journey is important. It really is about the destination. And unless you have a goal in mind, unless you have a destination in mind, then what's it all for? What's it all about? Why are we changing? Why are we growing? Why are we maturing? Well, the reason is because we have to be ready for the beatific vision. And the church is telling us in no uncertain terms, the second week of Lent, and we always have this glorious, radiant, ecstatic vision, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, but the church is telling us we have a goal in mind. We have a destination, and you must understand that, that we're not just kind of flowing along with the river somewhere. We have purpose, and because of purpose, we can have passion. And especially passion about changing our lives. We must be ready for the beatific vision of God. All of us will stand before the glory of God, and so we have a destination in mind. And then, and this is why Lent is a season of grace, we have this comforting, glorious, ecstatic religious experience. Of course, I'm using words here, but why do we have this every second week of Lent? You must understand, this vision is meant not only to give us a destination, a goal, and that's very, very, very important, and I led off with that. It's meant to strengthen us, to fortify us, to empower us, not only to live a good Lent, but to face the adversities, the trials, the problems, the troubles, the hardships, the sufferings that every one of us have in our life, so that we can be strong. Our sufferings don't have to overwhelm us. We can be more than conquerors through Him who loves us. So every second Sunday of Lent, every second week of Lent, we have this radiant vision, because we still have a long way to go. We're only a week into it. There's prayer, there's fasting, there's almsgiving, there's penance. We're trying to change personally. So we need strength. Remember what I told you, it's not just about resolution, it's about revolution. And we can have a revolution as we receive God's grace and as we embrace this radiant vision of the Transfiguration. What a scene that's given to us. It was St. Thomas Aquinas years ago, lived in the 1200s. As you know, he was a priest, a doctor of the church, became a saint, St. Thomas Aquinas. And he was a writer, dozens and dozens of books. The Summa Theologica, of course, and then scripture commentaries, philosophical writings. For example, he has the five proofs for the existence of God, very rational, intellectual proofs for the existence of God. If you ever want to read something beautiful, God is the first cause, and he proves how God exists just from nature itself. Things can't just exist without a first cause, and God is the first cause. Well, 3 months before he died, this learned man, this doctor of the church, saint of the church, 3 months before he dies, he has this radiant, ecstatic transfiguration moment in his own life where he encounters God. And after that vision, this is what he said about all of his writings, all these learned volumes, all these philosophical, theological works. He said, St. Thomas Aquinas, he said, "All is straw." In other words, there are no words when it comes to God in the vision of His glory. The gospel falls all over itself in the words that it used, dazzling and brilliant and glorious. I mean, these are words that we have in our vocabulary, but bottom line is, if you've ever had a religious experience, you know there are no words. God is beyond language, even beyond our conscious ability to apprehend. God is glorious and majestic, ecstatic. We call it the beatific vision. A word, a theological word for what just happened on the mountaintop is called a theophany. Happened to Moses when he was up on Mount Sinai, if you remember. God gives him the law, comes in this glorious cloud, this we call it the Shekinah cloud, the cloud of glory, and appears to Moses and gives Moses the law. Same thing's happening here. Moses will appear in the vision with Elijah, the law, and the prophets, but the same thing is happening. It's this ecstatic vision given to Peter, James, and John. And it's for a reason, to strengthen them, to fortify us, to comfort us. If you've ever had a religious experience, it's meant to strengthen you, to fortify you, to empower you, to be able to face not only Lent and the long journey of Lent, but to face your trials and adversities. So, in other words, there are no words to a religious experience. Have you had a religious experience? Many people have. I have. I read about a survey that said that 50% of Americans claim to have had a religious experience. 50%! So one out of every two of you have had a religious experience of some sort. And they broke that down to say that 55% of the 50% have seen an angel of some sort. 44% received some type of a call. And 20% heard the voice of God. We heard the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," there on the mountaintop, as well as at the baptism in the Jordan. So, have you heard the voice of God? If you have, you know that it's changed your life. See, God touches people in a real experiential way. Encountering God is something that we all want. And if you have had an encounter with God, get in touch with that. That's what I think this vision is all about also. It's telling us, if you've had some type of a religious experience in the past, remember. Don't let it just lie dormant. Bring it to the surface. It's meant for a reason. God touches people powerfully with a great manifestation of grace for a reason. It's meant to strengthen you, comfort you, so that you can live your life well, face your trials, and be more than a conqueror. If you haven't had a religious experience, I pray that this program will help mediate that for you. That's why we have the reading every second week of Lent, is so that it will help to mediate a glorious experience of God. And so if you haven't, I'm praying that this program, that God will touch you through this program. Maybe there'll be a sense of peace or a remembrance of something that happened to you in the past. Maybe it'll be a dream that you'll have after this program. God has a way. But it's not all about feelings. I'm a spiritual director and I know this. It's about faith. Feelings are fickle. Faith is forever. And I love what Jesus said. He said to people, he said about religious experience, he said, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." So faith is what we're after here. Belief. That's one of the areas where we need to grow in Lent. So the disciples had this religious experience of Jesus. And one point that I want to make is this. Only three of the 12 were invited to the mountaintop. The other nine were left below. Three of them were invited to intimacy, to this ecstatic vision, to this depth, intimacy, and closeness with Christ. I believe that you, because you're watching this program, in a special way, have a special invitation for intimacy with Christ. I want you to receive that, to know that. That's what Lent's all about, isn't it? One of the main purposes of Lent is intimacy with God. Talked about that in the first program. Intimacy with God, then moral growth, attitudinal growth, reaching out to people. You know, those are the purposes of Lent. And remember now, we have a destination. Jesus is inviting us to intimacy. All of us are called, are invited to the mountaintop to have this awakening with God. Isn't that what Lent is all about? Intimacy with God. When I had my near-death experiences at age 19, this revolutionized my life. Talk about a grace. I had this vision of God, this glorious vision of God that totally changed me. I was never all that religious as a young man, and it changed me such that I've now been a priest for 26 years, evangelizing on television, preaching parish missions, writing books, trying to tell everybody that all people are invited to intimacy with God. Everyone can have experiences with God, whether it be dramatic or not so dramatic. I remember the story in the gospel about the Samaritan woman. We've all heard it. It's proclaimed year A, third Sunday of Lent, every year in Lent, in the year A cycle. And it's a Samaritan woman, this woman Jesus meets at the well. Get this woman. She's been married 5 times and divorced. And the man that she's living with now, they're not even married. She's living in sin, committing adultery. And Jesus says to her, "If you only knew the gift of God, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water." So in other words, there's no conditions on how good you are to receive the vision of God, to receive this living water, to receive the intimacy with God. It's for all people. I love the vision of Pentecost. "Upon all flesh I will pour forth my spirit, says the Lord, upon your men servants, your maid servants, young people, old people." So the grace of God is for everybody. We all qualify. It's not how good you are. It's simply belief. Simply belief. You are invited to the mountaintop to have a destination in mind and to receive comfort. So I want to get back to that whole thing about the theophany, God's manifestation, the stunning revelation, this manifestation that's so real and so personal. There's a purpose for this. As I said, to give us a destination. It's an early Easter. It's a glorious vision. We're invited to get a glimpse of glory. But the other reason is to strengthen us for the hardships ahead. As soon as they come down from the mountaintop, Jesus and his disciples, they're met with a demon-possessed boy. That's not the only problems they're going to have. I mean, Jesus is on his journey to Calvary. And that's exactly what they were discussing up on the mountaintop. In the midst of the glory, one of the versions, I believe it's Luke, talks about with Moses and Elijah, they talk about his exodus in Jerusalem. In other words, his suffering and death on the cross. So Jesus himself is being strengthened to be able to bear his adversities, sufferings, and trials. Now, maybe you don't have a demon-possessed boy at home, but you might have a boy or a girl that's fallen away from the faith, and it's tearing you up inside. Maybe you're dealing with some type of a physical disease or suffering or just simply growing older. Perhaps you're married to somebody who doesn't understand your faith and won't go to church with you. That's a tremendous suffering. Or you could be stressed out, anxious, or fearful, or maybe you're just going through some grieving. The reason why you have a vision like this is to strengthen you, not only to be able to face these things, but to be more than conquerors through him who loves you. Isn't Lent all about change? We can't change by ourselves. We need grace. We need the manifestation of God. We need the whisper of God, the voice of God. However God wants to come in your life, we need that to be able to change. Well, little did I know, but I would be suffering many adversities in my life, physical sufferings that I've had to go through. My road to priesthood was not paved with a red carpet. I remember one of my directors, a priest, came against me, tried to get me to leave the seminary, abused me verbally. That was a tumultuous time in my life. That was so hard. And then, of course, as I said, you know, the physical sufferings that I've had to endure. Then living on the road out of a suitcase, being before people all the time, preaching these parish missions. I love doing what I do, but it's rock hard. It's very difficult. And, you know, always living in a different place. And religious life itself isn't all that easy. Living with people that you haven't chosen per se, but you have chosen and you live with them, and they can be difficult people. And then I remember I lost my mom and dad at different times to death and presiding at their funerals. I've gone through some hard times in my life. Every journey has difficulties and trials and tribulations, but it was the vision of God's glory that has strengthened me and empowered me and fortified me to deal with my own parents' death, to deal with my physical sufferings, to go through the trials and adversities of becoming a priest and being a priest and living in religious community. And think about your life right now. How can you do it? You don't just do it by determination. I've tried to talk with you about that. It's not just by resolution, it's by revolution. It's by grace. That's what grace is. It's the free gift of God come to you to empower you, the manifestation of God's presence. See, when you're in God's presence, it's all over but the shouting. And what I mean by that is there's a new strength, a new power. Jesus was showing himself who he really is as the Son of God, his two natures, of course, human and divine. If you go to the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Tabor in Israel, I've studied there, you'll see that they have two chapels, the chapel underneath, dedicated to the humanity of Christ, the chapel above dedicated to the divinity of Christ. Well, Jesus was showing, the human Jesus was showing his disciples that he was truly the Son of God in order to strengthen them, because they were coming down the mountaintop, they meet the demon-possessed boy, they'd be going through all these tribulations, temptations from the evil one to fall away, and then, of course, the passion. So he was strengthening them to deal with the adversities of life. Now, as I said in the beginning, it's not all about the journey, it's about the destination. But the journey matters too, because we can't get to the destination unless we go through the pilgrimage, unless we go through the journey. And pilgrimages are journeys of faith that aren't always paved with red carpets either. And we're all on the pilgrimage. So this is what the church is telling us. We're on a journey, we're on a pilgrimage. And sometimes the pilgrimage is hard. I remember M. Scott Peck began his book, The Road Less Traveled, with a great truth. Get this. Page 1, paragraph 1, M. Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled, talking about the journey. Life is difficult. And that is such a great truth. Life is difficult. It's fraught with suffering. Now, I'm not saying woe is us going through this veil of tears. I mean, there are hard things. But the bottom line is, you know, the pilgrimage is totally worth it and God is in it and there's such blessings. But the truth is, life is difficult. There are troubles. There are trials. There are tribulations. There are hardships of every way, shape, and form. You know, if you could come here and talk to me, I'm sure you'd have stories to tell. So we need fortification. We need supernatural strength. We need help from above. And Lent itself, maybe you feel like, you know, you've been fasting and almsgiving and prayer and penance and trying to change and things don't seem to be happening and you feel like you're in a dry desert. So we're given this radiant vision. And I pray that you'll receive it through me, through this program right now, this radiant vision of the glorious Jesus, this ecstatic vision of this early Easter. This is why the church is giving it to us, so that we won't be defeated, so that we'll be strong, so that you'll realize your potential and become all that you could be. I didn't really have purpose in my life until God manifested his presence in my life. And then I started to become all that I could be. So with purpose comes passion. And God in this vision is giving us purpose and giving us passion. Well, I saw a poster one time, little kitty cats hanging from a clothesline. And the little kitty cat is dangling there. And underneath the poster was a caption. It said, "Dear Lord, help me to remember that nothing is going to happen today that you and I can't handle together." And I love that because, you know, sometimes you do, you're hanging from a clothesline and you're at the end of your rope. But it proclaims a great truth that together with God, through his strength, he will help us. And we can face it. And we can handle whatever we need to. I love what it says in the book of Hebrews, "I will never ever fail or forsake you." That's God speaking to us. So in the midst of it all, there's hope. And this is how the apostles were able to turn the world upside down, through that knowing that God was with them. God was in them. The word "with" means to be alongside of, close to, near to. In is, I love what St. Augustine said, God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. He's in us. So you have to realize right now, get in touch with that truth that God is there. I remember I watched this movie, it was called The Poseidon Adventure. And talk about the world being turned upside down. This rogue wave comes, this big ocean liner, you know, cruise ship flips upside down. Now the whole thing is survival instinct. How do we get to the top? And they open one door, fire comes out. They open another door, water floods out. And it was the whole thing about getting to the top. A few of them survived and they made it to the top. Finally, the top is the hull now, the bottom of the ship, because it's flipped upside down. They open it up and they're saved. All throughout the movie, it was such a metaphor for life. All throughout the movie was this song of hope. And that's what this vision gives us, hope. And it was a song by Maureen McGovern. It was called "There's Got to Be a Morning After." And I love that song. A couple verses. "There's got to be a morning after if we can hold on through the night. We have a chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep on looking for the light." I love that. There's got to be a morning after. Dare to hope. Don't give up when life gets tough. Don't give up because you've got a long Lent ahead of you. Be strong in hope. And I love what Scripture says. We have a living hope. There was a Jew hiding from the Nazis. He scrawled these words in the basement of a house where he was hiding. And this is what he put: "I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. I believe in God, even when he's silent." To me, that's hope. Dare to hope. Believe in love. Believe in God. Be strengthened. God will never, ever fail or forsake you. So we have this mountaintop, this glorious experience to tell us that it's not just the destination, but, excuse me, it's not just the journey or the pilgrimage, as much as that matters. It's the destination. We have a goal, heaven in mind. And also, we're given this glorious, ecstatic experience to tell us that It's in the realm of possibility for all of us. You and I are invited to the mountaintop to have an experience with God. Even if you've had a glorious experience in the past, or even if you haven't, look with faith to believe that something good lies in your future. Live with a living hope. There's got to be a morning after. And this vision has been given to us to strengthen us in our trials, so that we too can not only face our trials, but be more than conquerors. Demon-possessed boys, growing older, hardships that lie ahead of us, we can not only face them, but be more than conquerors. Now, isn't that what Lent is all about? The destination, the glory ahead, and being strong. And it's as we go through, we grow through. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.